Well, good morning, church. 1, 2, thank you. The rest of the Sunday school and the teenagers can go with Raphael. Thank you. The church is looking palmy today and beautiful. It makes quite a difference to the preacher when you step into the church and it looks so decorated. The speed of some man. If you get a boy excited, they blame Sue and Steve, which is Eric. He doesn't have a choice. He's a bottle who comes with marriage. Fritz as well. I understand Fritz was carrying like upwards of 25 palm branches in each hand yesterday. And so we thank the entire team yesterday. If I've missed anyone, please forgive me. But thank you so much for your assistance in decorating the church. As you know, the series that we are busy with is entitled Look Up. And it's obviously a play on words. And it's look up to Jesus, look up to God. And we are looking up to Jesus from the perspective of the Apostle Luke. Luke, more the historian than the apostle from the perspective of this series. And so, if you don't mind, we're going to go back a little bit. We've been camping out in Luke 22. So we're going to dial back the clock just a little bit and go back to Luke chapter 19 today, of course, being Palm Sunday. And we want to find some insights from this recording of Jesus' journey that I suspect is going to apply not only wholesale, but also very specifically to your Christian experience. And today it's simply Palms of Praise, the title for today's message. Read with me in Luke 19 from verses 28 to the end of that passage, which is verse 44. It reads as follows. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. May God add a blessing to the public reading of his word. Join me in prayer for a moment. Father, we bless you. We thank you that we have the privilege of sitting under your publicly read and proclaimed word. Give wisdom to myself, the preacher, as I expound on it. And give grace to the hearers, dear Lord.
As we submit ourselves to the reading of the Holy Spirit, as he moves amongst us from seat to seat and person to person. Change our hearts, dear Lord.
of your name, as all God's people say. Amen. Amen. So it's Psalms of praise today. And again, that's a little bit of a play on word as opposed to Psalms of praise, as David, the majority author of that section of the Old Testament, who wrote the Psalms. But today we've got Psalms of praise, and it is the action, the manifestation of a thinking or a attitudinal disposition. Now, I'm not going to do that because I've put on a bit of weight and this jacket is very tight, so if I bend, it might just snap somewhere. But it's picking up this palm, and in my mind and with my lips, I might be saying, praise God. And in my heart, I might be overflowing with the emotion of that very truth, that God must be praised, and I'm responding to it, and I'm taking it a bit and a step further. I'm using my environment, I'm using nature, and I'm using my body to express praise to God. It is using every elemental force and object that is in you and around you to make it Christ-centered and giving glory to God with those elements. That's what today represents. It is not just you determining that you will praise God, but it's you determining that you will praise God in your inners, and everything that you've got control over, all the elements of reality around you that you can rope in, you will to praise God. There is no exclusion of anything under your power purview. In other words, that which you can legitimately use and manipulate, you're going to use it and manipulate it and form it in such a fashion that it gives praise to God. Let me use that as the first challenge this morning. What is not under the manipulation of yourself, the sanctified self, not the fallen self, that you have taken and said, this I will use to match my inner disposition of praise? I will take a palm branch and I will wave it for everybody to see. And when they ask me, why, like a madman, are you raising a palm branch in the middle of the road? You can respond and say, because my Jesus has come to provide salvation. I do it as an act of worship, as an act of prophetic praise, to let everybody know that Jesus saves. You see, with your inner disposition, not many people will fully grasp it or even notice it or understand it. But when I'm standing in the middle of the N2, I don't recommend that you do this, by the way, cars come quite fast down there. But if you're standing in the middle of the N2 waving a palm branch, someone's going to call the authorities because there's a disturbance. And when the authorities and the Metro Police pull up there with a little pink booklet, you know, the love letters they give you, and they come to ask, why are you doing what you are doing, sir or madam? And you say, well, it's because I love Jesus and he deserves all the praise. It now crosses over from an inward disposition that was misjudged as some madman making trouble and disruption in our traffic flow, to now becoming what they might probably say, a madman with overzealous religious devotion. But from that point, the inner uninterpreted disposition of the personal jumps into the open space of the public. I want to encourage you to jump into the open space of the public with your praise of Jesus. Now, you don't have to be fanatical about it in the negative sense, but I do want you to be fanatical about Jesus. I speak about Jesus at every opportunity. Yesterday, I had a chance to witness someone else taking every opportunity to speak about Jesus. And I'll share with you, he's not here, he's with the teens right now. But it was Paul's birthday on Friday. And for various reasons, we don't usually do this, but he had a little mini party on youth in Friday. We sent some cake and some drinks and so forth for the young people at church. And then yesterday we had his official party with his friends, and we took him out to And we only had a limited number, so we couldn't invite everybody, of course. And then today, the family's coming over, and according to Paul, the family's coming over because that's where the gifts are. And so, yeah. But so last night, we're sitting at the table, and they came to take the orders and stuff. And Raphael was there, and Raphael has adopted Paul, which I just love. And he said, he came to me last year, and he says, Pastor, you are mentoring me, and you're mentoring others on kind of on a personal level, and you're obviously pastoring the church. And he says, I just feel, I've been praying, and I feel that God is telling me that I must invest in your own son. And I said, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. But anyway, so now they're sitting at the table, and we invited Carlisle and Raphael as two of the youth leaders, of course. So Carlisle as the youth worker, and Raphael as Paul's mentor, if I can put it that way. And so they're sitting there, and the conversation is going well. And at one point, and I was told, I'm only there to pay. But don't sit with us. Don't talk to us. Don't even look at us. That was my brief yesterday. So I cheated a bit. I sat in a section of the venue where I couldn't see them and they couldn't see me, but there was a huge mirror in that corner, so I could see everything in the mirror. Yeah, that's called broadcasting and streaming without any Wi-Fi. Just use a mirror. And so at some point I went over there just to check if everything's all right, and guess what I find? I find Raphael preaching to them. And so, like 15 minutes before I was there, the conversation was going great. This time, everybody's kind of quiet. And Renaka was sitting like this. The Natsa was going over the phone, but Raphael is just speedily going ahead, talking about Scripture and Jesus to them. Didn't last for too long, but he had the attitude of taking every opportunity to speak Christ into a situation. Take every opportunity to praise God and move it from the personal into the public. Can I get an amen? And so this is what Palm Sunday represents. It's one of the major themes of Palm Sunday. The second theme is something that we introduced to you last week, which is the ultimate omnipotent foreknowledge of God, of Jesus himself. So a bit later in Luke 22, of course, he says, listen, go and prepare the place where we're going to celebrate Passover. You will find so-and-so there. You tell him that this is what I'm going to need, and then you set up and prepare for our actual meal over there. When they get there, they found it just as Jesus had said. But there's a precursor here. There's one or two precursors elsewhere in Luke. It's a sub-theme in Luke that Jesus knows what he's talking about. Let me just focus on that particular aspect. And their response was perfectly in tune with what Jesus had told them. He said, because, listen, I think Palestinians are a lot like Cape Townians, right? Because if you see someone just untying your donkey, the first thing that you're going to do is you're not going to assume that the Lord sent this person to set the donkey free. You're going to think, I need to call the police. In fact, let me tell you a little story. Ashley, I was with Ashley on Friday night, and he told me, he reminded me of this story that happened some years ago. In between us moving from Athlone to Belleville, where we currently stay, there was a six-month period between the selling of our house and us moving into the new place. And we got it at a good deal, so I didn't mind waiting, but I needed to find accommodation for 6 months. And for that 6 months, we stayed at the CTBS campus in Bridgetown. We had a flat there. And because we had so much furniture, and the flat, of course, is very small compared to our previous house, we had too much furniture for the size of the flat. And so all the excess furniture was moved into one of the storage garages on the premises. And I had put a padlock on it and, you know, made it secure because, you know, the area is well known for people helping themselves to your stuff. And so at 2 o'clock one night, round about there, between 1 and 2, and my dog was also there, and I had to pay rent for my dog, can you believe it? But she was right next to the storage space where my furniture was. And she's barking like crazy. And my window, my bedroom window is right, I can see my dog and the storage space if I look out the bedroom window. So I look out the bedroom window, And there I see two gentlemen, the one with a screwdriver trying to break open the lock, and the other one crouching over with a torch shining a light on the lock. And my dog is obviously going crazy. And I'm already, you know, like in my sleepwear and stuff. And I don't have no, like, real weapons, right? So I'm thinking, okay, I've got to do something. They're not going to get my stuff, you know. And I just get dressed very quickly. I don't think I've ever gotten dressed that quickly in my life. And I run out, and as I run out, the kitchen is right by the front door, and I grab my big blue chef's knife. It's a long thing like this. And I go out and I run to this area, and I shout something to them. But I also realize there's two of them, there's one of me, my dog is locked up. If I can get to my dog, but I've got to get past them to get to the dog first, right? And I got this huge boer bull. She looks like a lion. Or she did. She's passed on now. Rest her soul. And so I've got this knife, and I stand there, and I just say, I shout something to them, and they both look at me. And the one comes forward with a flashlight eventually, and he says, no, you don't understand, and I just don't want to hear anything. I just say, no, you don't understand. Take one further step, and you like chopped liver, right? I didn't say it that nicely. Please forgive me, Lord. My heart is pumping in my brain already. The adrenaline is going. I'm thinking I might have to go to jail in the next 5 minutes. But you're not getting into my garage. I'll cut a long story short. It works out that the one was an electrician. The other one was the newly elected SRC chairperson of the seminary. The electricity had switched off on part of the... In my storage unit, apparently, was a control box that they needed to get to, and being early, they didn't want to disturb me, and so they thought they'll just force the thing open and replace the lock, but they needed to restore power to the thing. The point is, the Palestinians are much like us. I just assume they're there to break. Now, they were there to break in, but let's just, for ease of interpret, Jesus had sent them. And this is the same situation. When they're untying the donkey, the owner says, why are you untying my donkey? Now, maybe he had a blue kitchen knife as well, and maybe he didn't say it as nicely as Scripture puts it, because he's just seeing someone untying his donkey. But their response is telling. The response is, the Lord needs it. And that's what Jesus told them to say. They didn't give further explanation. They didn't add to the word. They didn't take away from the word. They were to a degree obedient to how and what Jesus told them to do. Can I put that same challenge to you as challenge number two this morning? What is the quotient of your obedience to Jesus? If I can use my younger son as an example, he loves to add addendums to everything that we say. He's got this nature. If I ask him, Daniel, can you just please, I noticed there's no toilet paper, this happened yesterday. Can you put two toilet rolls in the bathroom, please? Yes, I have to. I just need to first do this. You were doing nothing for 5 hours straight. All of a sudden, when I ask you to do something now, you first have to go and do something else that's so vitally important. And there's so many of us who do that. Like the man, when Jesus says, look, you got to forsake everything and follow me. Yes, I will, but I first have to go bury my parents. Like you didn't know that while you were standing here listening to Jesus' speech. What were you doing here in the first place? And we come up with excuses all the time, either just to not obey Jesus, or if we are going to obey Jesus, which almost is the same as disobedience, to make Jesus align with my agenda. And to let Jesus know that I'm actually in control. Because that's what it is. It's a power play. Yes, Daddy, I will do it. But just to let you know that I've got my own mind and my own power, I'll do it when I want to do it. I first have other things to do as an 11-year-old. Now, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But can you imagine the created us when Jesus says, go to Nineveh, and then we say, but God, are you sure Nineveh, those sinners, those people? I've got better things to do. I think I'll go to Tarsus. I'll catch a boat with people I don't know to go to a place that's even more dangerous without your protection. And maybe then, God, you'll think about the saving Nineveh and Assyria and people who have politically oppressed us. You see, I want to ask you on this Palm Sunday to praise God in private, to praise Him in public, but also to praise Him with complete obedience. It's not beyond you. We can do it. And you can do it without having to assert your independence, without having to push your agenda on God's. You can do it simply by submitting to Him and doing exactly as He says. Okay, that was the introduction. I kid you not. So two introductory points: move from private to public and praise Him with complete and utter obedience. So I've got 3 points for you about praise. It's really about the nature of praise. It comes from the passage. And I've preached on this passage probably 20 times, maybe this one and the Matthew one in total now over the many years, because, you know, like Christmas and Easter, Palm Sunday comes about every single year. And so here it is. The first one is the transitory nature of praise. Now, I could use the term temporal nature of praise, which means the same thing, but transitory fits better for this passage because Jesus was literally preparing to travel, was traveling, and this entire scene takes place while He is in transit. Okay? And I could get poetically involved over here and say something, but this will be too applicatory, almost to the point where I'm seeing things that are not there. But I could say something if I were a motivational preacher only, and say something like, for you to be growing and moving higher in terms of your experience with God, you've got to be traveling. You cannot be in a state of inertia. You can't just let the wind take you wherever the wind wants to take you. You cannot be a circumstantial being that you only find yourself in the position in which circumstance has placed you. Your context is Jesus, and therefore Jesus is your circumstance. And despite the outward forces that might not be from God, usually are not, you will be placed where God wants you to be placed. But you got to move. I mean, you know, there is a difference between an art gallery and a moving picture film, as they used to call it in the 20s. And it caused quite the roar. Even the silent films of Buster Keaton was quite the rave, because to see a picture now move, and it moves in degrees. Some of you can remember when I was young, we would make little animated films on paper. And you draw a picture, and then you draw a picture just with a little degree of movement in a certain direction. And when you flip those pictures very fast, it actually looks like a moving picture. It becomes animated. It's moving. And in the same sense, you've got to move. You've got to praise. You cannot stand on the same spot. There are, of course, exceptions to every rule. There are times when simply standing against the tirade of opposition is victory. I'm not speaking about that today. But there is a transitory and a temporal nature of praise. The first one is, Jesus highlights the difference when He says, listen, don't function only in the temporal, function in the eternal. The Pharisees, I'll make reference to this again a bit later, say, listen, tell your disciples not to praise you like this, because that's reserved for God. That's the implication. And they're accusing the disciples of blasphemy. And Jesus responds and says, listen, if these people don't praise me, then the stones will praise me. And again, it's this idea of the elements all around in nature being involved in praising and worshiping God. And nothing attached to my person must not be praising God. Does your internet history praise God? Quiet. Does your bank balance praise God? If you have one. It's already the 10th, I know, for most of us, it's like, phew. But does your bank balance praise God? Does your transaction history praise God? Does your relationships with your colleagues praise God? Or does your life at your educational institution, if you're still studying, praise God? You got to move it not only from private to public, you also have to move it from temporal. So just on a Sunday, just over the weekend, just in youth, just in cell group, and you have to move it to the eternal. That's part of the theme of the entire Bible. Is, you know, some people say life is short, so you might as well enjoy it. I say eternity is long. You better be prepared. And so you want to make sure that everything that's temporal today is being moved to an eternal perspective, even your praise. Secondly, so we have temporal versus eternal. You also have intervention versus ontological. They were praising God because of the miracles that he had done and was doing. And that is his intervention. Some of us praise God for his intervention and we say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done in my life. And you should. But the greatest praise is to praise him. And ontological simply means his essence in divinity. In other words, who he really is. And we praise him for who he is. And I know some of you are finding it difficult to praise God this morning. Because something is misaligned. Something is not right. Someone did you wrong. Someone did you in. And it's difficult to praise God. And in moments like that, let me encourage you to praise God for who he is. Not just what he has done. And thirdly, we have provisional versus salvific. And what we mean over here is based on that same verse, you know, if God provides for me, then I'm happy with him. And you don't even have to be born again. I've got plenty of friends and family who are somewhat religious, but they're not born again. They're not sanctified, saved, and set free. But they will praise God, and they will say, thank you to the Almighty for providing this for me. It all comes from his hand. And you can praise him provisionally, but I'll rather have you praising him salvifically. And what that means is, Lord, I thank you for the donuts I'm going to have after church today. Look forward to it every Sunday. But I want to thank you more for your provision of sustenance like that. And I want to thank you for your salvation for eternity. I'm moving from the transitory, the temporal, to the eternal. Palm Sunday speaks into that. Secondly, so the first point is the transitory nature of praise. And we move from temporary to eternal, intervention to ontological, and from provisional to salvific. Second point is, there is a treacherous element in praise. Look at verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, notice not all, some, in the crowd, Nicodemus was a truth searcher, there were others like him, said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. In the atmosphere and the context of holiness and praise, you will always find people who want to accuse and question. Always. Not just Jesus himself, but the followers of Jesus. And the Pharisees happen to do both here. They're accusing Jesus, who is God in person, literally accusing him of accepting praise, which is blasphemous, which means he's blaspheming as well. And they're saying, you're not God. Then they're accusing the disciples of Jesus, who are the disciples of God, of blasphemy and of sinning. There's always an accuser in the midst of praise. I want you to use the same diversionary tactic that Jesus uses here. And he says, if we don't praise him, and if they don't praise, the stones around us will praise. You see, when you are praising God, let me talk to you about the ontology of praise very quickly. And not just the ontology of God, but the ontology of praise is that you are joining the default position of creation. So pre the Adamic fall, all of creation was geared toward Christ. And every leaf, every wind, every stone, every grain of sand shouted with their very existence and all the atomic energy that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of nature. So when you open up your mouth and move that personal disposition inside. Well, I praise God on the inside. And you move it out by producing sound waves into the open space of public. You are joining the pre-fall default setting of all of nature. The the post-fall default nature of all of creation now is to pull you away from Christ. And it can be used most easily for that. But it's still its higher calling to praise God. You are simply joining the call of all creation, including nature, including inanimate, non-sentient life forms, to give praise to God. Do not be concerned about the treacherous element, the fallen nature of creation. Some of us love the mountains and the rivers and the pathways within our beautiful city way more than we love the creator of those beautiful pathways in our city. Enjoy nature, but don't be pulled away by its beauty so that you don't praise God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Ignore the treacherous element. Number three, so we've got the transitory nature of praise. We have the treacherous element in praise. And then we have the tenebrosity of praise. Your pastor, what does that mean? And again, there's method to my madness. Guess what's happening Thursday night? What? Tenebrae service. And as you heard, the Latin lesson that you got in the announcements, tenebrae means darkness. And the tenebrosity of praise is in verse 41. You are kept in the dark. Look at verse 41. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. You are in the dark. I was joking with the worship team as we just went over the service and prayed like we do every Sunday morning. But remember, someone said that they're the last to know. They didn't know something that was happening. And I responded, well, I'm the youngest of my siblings, the youngest by far. You know, like my oldest surviving sister is like old enough to be my grandparent. That's how young I am. So they make plans. And I find out on the day. They know for months, for weeks. I don't know if anyone else has this phenomenon happening in them. But it happens to me. I'll just, you know, where are you? I'm at home. Well, why aren't you here? What's happening? No, didn't you get the note? No, I wasn't part of the discussion. Right? You can see my frustration coming out. I'm kept in the dark. And that means that there's certain information that I should possess, but I don't possess, either because of ignorance or because of lack of discipleship, or lack of training, or lack of communication. It could be a multiplicity of reasons as to why I'm in the dark, but that is where I find myself in. I don't know. And Jesus is saying, if only you knew what's going to bring you peace, he's referring to the cross that's going to happen shortly after this. And he's saying, if only you would know what's going to bring you peace. And he weeps over it. There's nothing more tragic than people who don't need to be ignorant, who are ignorant. I'm going to quote the book, Please Do Not Be Alarmed, but I read many years ago, the Nigerian author, I forget his name now, but he wrote a book called Capitalist Nigger. I know, it's just the title of the book. And his one phrase in there, his one saying in there has now become very famous, and he said, if you want to hide something from a black man, can you finish it for me? Put it in a book. Yeah. Because if you can stay ignorant, and this would apply to anybody, of course, but if you can stay ignorant, you stay down there. But if you can be educated, well, just general education, great. You can improve possibly the paycheck at the end of the month through your training and your degrees. But if you are educated by God Himself, if you take the preaching from this pulpit, from whoever stands here and faithfully preaches the truth, if you take it seriously, you will soar in the heights where angels fear to tread. If you take God's word seriously and meditate on it day and night and go through it with a fine tooth comb and apply it to your life, You will experience value and promotion in the spirit and in the physical that will blow your mind. My life has been transformed by theology. And I don't just mean as a reading the big green monster, Muller J. Erickson. What I mean is that my life has been transformed by studying everything Jesus. And as I try and apply it, I'm not perfect, of course, far from it. But my life has been promoted upon promotion, pressed down, shaken together, cup running over, simply because I have pursued knowledge in Christ Jesus. The tenebrosity of praise is that some of us praise God in ignorance. I want to tell you that there's nothing better when it comes to praise than informed praise. Now, you don't have to, by the way, be a doctor of theology, like Ronnie, who's not here this morning, or Didier. That should inform your praise a bit more. You could be the guy on the right of Jesus who says, Lord, please remember me. And then Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And the old Irish preacher, I forget his name, the clip has been going around, and he speaks on it and he says, you know, when he got there, he was ignorant as to how he even got there, right? But he did know the full summation and the full manifestation of what knowledge points to and is, right? Because God is logos, he is thinking, he is knowledge. So when he gets there, and again, this isn't theological, St. Peter gets him and says, you were the thief on the cross? Yes, sir. Why are you here? He says, I don't know. He's ignorant. He's tenebrae. And that's okay, because he died soon after he came to know Jesus. And he couldn't, and he says, listen, are you sure? Do you know the doctrines of justification? No. Have you gone to cell group and did the basic believers Bible course? No. Have you been baptized, sir? No. So what are you doing here? I don't know. Are you sure about this is the place? He says, look, Peter, I don't know what I'm doing here. All I know is that Jesus said I could come. And so he's got an excuse for his ignorance. Have you? You died right after you got saved. You were locked up like so many believers in China and certain contexts previously that were under oppression and persecuted for their Christianity. We had a gentleman from Eritrea here a few months ago and shared that just for going to a prayer meeting, you could spend a few months in prison, if not a few years. We don't have reasons for our ignorance, for being in darkness. Your praise must be informed. And the man to the right of Jesus, simply, if he had lived, God would have expected him to be informed. So, in conclusion, move from personal to public. Wave, use everything within your power purview, what you can manipulate to praise him, leave nothing behind. That's your introductory points. And then there's a transitory nature of praise. There is a treacherous element in praise always, people wanting to stop you from praising. And three, there's a tenebrosity of praise. There's a legitimate reason sometimes, right end of the cross guy. But most times, if you're around for longer than the guy on the right of Jesus after you come to salvation and know him, you must have informed praise. Grow in the word. Close your eyes and bow your head. I was told in the week, I met with someone who watched our stuff online, and he says, I've noticed that on a few occasions you apologize to the people and thank them for their forbearance because the sermon was a bit long. He says, stop doing that. And I almost did it again now. That's why I'm reminding myself. But I do thank you. It's an honorable thing to submit yourself to the preached word of God. What's even more honorable is to respond with the full knowledge that Jesus is here and that he wants to touch you and bless you beyond what you can imagine. One area of focus is to move from personal to public. I want to say, don't be shy. Don't be afraid of what others would think. I'm 46 years old now, I'm past 45. I always said I want to go to 90, so I'm halfway there. But I'm getting too old now to worry about other people's opinion. Never really been that way. Always just been a kind of a strong personality. Don't care what other people think. Got me in trouble many times. Of late, it's got me in trouble for Jesus. Don't you want to join me in trouble? Don't you want to move from the personal to the public? Don't you want to be a disruptor in the fallen default setting of this world? And remind it that pre-Adamic fall, the default setting was Christ-centered, and praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. If there are certain areas in your life that remain personal or even removed from God completely, I want to pray for you. Some of you are saying, Lord, give me the courage so that as the opportunity presents itself, I can speak about Jesus like Raphael, like others in our church, like others that we see on the internet and so forth. But make me courageous and help me move from personal to public. If that's you, you can stand very quickly and I'd like to pray for you and ask God to give you an injection of public courage. Don't be shy. You feel free. There's always going to be a treacherous voice that's going to tell you, well, you know the sin in your life. Well, don't worry about the sin in your life. Repent and reject. I wish I had time just to speak on that. That was the word that God spoke to me whole week this week. Repent and reject. That was for me. It wasn't for my sermon. Got to make sure that my personal devotions don't just become my sermons. But if you've got a sin in your life, repent from it and reject it. Some people repent but never reject, so they go into a cycle of sin. Other people reject but never repent. Well, I'll stop smoking, but I don't come to Jesus. Same effect. You go into a circle of sin. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for your word. What a beautiful God you are. Thank you that we can use nature to praise you. Thank you that we can draw everything within our power purview and manipulate it legitimately to Christ-centered means. We exalt you, and we thank you, dear Lord Father, that nothing gets left behind and no one gets left behind. Give us courage, dear Lord, to move from personal and private to public. We ask this in Jesus' name. Those who are standing, please be seated. Amen. Worship team, you may come up. Again, as I make the offer every single Sunday, feel free to come and chat to me after the service if you need a special prayer and like me to pray with you in private. It might be some sensitive stuff that you want to discuss with me. Feel free to come and call me after the service. Thank you.